What a beautiful song. It's my privilege to share with you today and in this new experience for many of us to share around the table together where we are. Church at home. The church scattered, but together as we celebrate Good Friday and as we come around this very special table. I don't know about how you're coping, how you're surviving in this unusual time. One thing that keeps me sane at the moment is moving the furniture around at home. It just helps me. They say change is as good as a holiday. And I've always loved to kind of move the furniture around. And there I was last weekend after our services back in my garage. And I'm moving the furniture around in the garage because I've set up a study for myself because so many Zoom calls and trying to bring a bit of relief to the household, I put my study into the garage. And as I moved the furniture around, I found a gem. I found this old overnight bag that belonged to my grandfather. I sat down in the lounge and tears came to my eyes as I looked at this old leather case, as I rubbed the leather, as I touched the old frayed cords. Why was it so important? I sense many of us are on a kind of emotional roller coaster at this time. And suddenly here was this old bag. It represented something of my past. It represented something of my history. There was a past element to that bag. And then suddenly the kids are running back in, having been on their skateboards out in the driveway, and there's noise. And suddenly I'm back in the present reality, but my present reality with my family is connected to that bag and my past, the bag that was owned by my grandfather that he'd carry around with him whenever he travelled. And my past and my present are suddenly connected. And then the kids run off again and there's quietness. And I suddenly think about my grandfather and I think about the future and the man I still want to be and my hopes and my dreams and the legacy he's left me and my hopes for the future. And suddenly, just in a few minutes, that suitcase brings together past and present and future. And you know what, Crossway? That's what this table captures. Past and present and future. Jesus invites us as we come around this table on Good Friday to look back past, to look back to the cross, to remember his sacrifice, to remember the price that he paid for us. But it's a present table. I don't break the bread today and the ushers don't walk down the aisles and serve it. You break the bread. In your place, in your time, in your house, but we remind ourselves that we are together. It's an ever-present table. And if there's ever a time that I need to break bread and remind me that God is with me, it's today, in this world, in this season. But it's also a table that looks ahead because it reminds us that we are kingdom now and not yet people, that God is not finished with me, that God is not finished with you, that God is not finished with our world, that God is not distant, but he's here with us with hopes and dreams and plans with more for us in our lives. So today we come to the table, past, present and future, with our lives, a combination of past, present and future. And may it be, as we come now to pray and then come to the table, we might say, Holy Spirit, come afresh. On Good Friday 2020, speak into our lives. Speak into our lives. Let's pray together. Father God, we do want to thank you that in this time of challenge, chaos, but in this time also of opportunity, the privilege of serving each other and loving each other in these unusual days, we thank you that we can come together in our homes, in our families, around different tables, but share around this table and be reminded of all that Jesus has to speak into our world today. So come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a woman, and she had a past. She had a past that was marked by brokenness and guilt and shame and scars. She lived in the present reality. She knew people talked about her behind her back. She knew they mocked her, jibed her. As she would walk through the marketplace, they probably stepped aside to ignore her. As it was, she was from an ethnic minority, but she was even pushed more to the margins because of who she was. She had a story. She had a bad story. And yet I imagine she yearned for something different in the future. And then one day, this woman we read of in the Gospels, this woman 2,000 years ago, we call her the Samaritan woman. This woman encounters Jesus, grace with a human face. She comes to the well to get water. She comes in the middle of the day because she comes to avoid the crowd. She comes when people won't mock her, won't talk about her. She's a woman with a past. A past that holds her down and weighs her down. A past that hinders her moving forward. A woman scarred, hurting. A woman who knows guilt and sorrow, probably even cynicism now. She's a woman with a present reality. And life is hard. But she's a woman who yearns for something more. And suddenly she meets grace. Suddenly she encounters love. Suddenly she stands before God in the flesh. God has moved into her neighborhood, even a neighborhood for Samaritans, even a neighborhood for the least. And a conversation happens, and you can read about it in John's gospel. A conversation happens, but more than a conversation. Jesus transacts forgiveness, and he brings dignity and renewal and restoration to her life. And suddenly she is released from her past. Her past will no longer define her. She isn't the woman who currently lives with a man she's not married to and has had many husbands before. She isn't the cheap woman that people accused her of being. She isn't the woman defined by her scars anymore. She's released from that because she's met love and grace and hope. Her story, listen to this, her story, as small as it might seem, collides with the redemptive story of history because she matters to God. 2,000 plus years on, I remind myself today with my small story in the midst of the cosmos, in the midst of eternity, in the midst of the world that we live in today, in the midst of COVID-19, my story matters to God. My individual story still collides with grace this Easter. And so suddenly she's free from being defined by her past, but more, her present reality is changed. She's no longer bereft of hope. She doesn't need to live life on her own. She hasn't got to hide in the shadows. Something happens that day and dignity is restored and purpose is given and her whole life reality changes. Release from the past, a new present reality, but more than this, and this is the part of the story I love the most. Her future is reframed. Don't lose sight of this. I love this, Crossway. Don't lose sight of this. This Samaritan woman, the Jews called them dogs. This Samaritan woman who'd been pushed to the margins, this Samaritan woman, she can dare dream again. She can dream of a future. She's been given permission to see something different in the future. New possibility, new hope, new purpose, new direction, free, free. Her past, she's released from. Forgiveness, grace, repentance, renewal, a new present reality, and a future reframed because her story embraces God's big, grand, redemptive story. We read in the Gospels of a leper whose past and present is transformed, whose future is transformed because Jesus dares touch the man. A woman in Luke 7 who's lost her husband and now lost her only son, but Jesus' gut is moved and he sees her, and her past, her present, her future are transformed. A tax collector who wanted to, in a sense, do the right thing, but was money hungry and greedy and cut corners, and who suddenly embraces Jesus. And again, he wants to be free of his past. He wants his present reality to be different. And God opens the door for him to discover a new future. Story after story after story in the Gospels where people embrace the heart of this weekend, the heart of this message, the heart of this table, where they confront love and grace and hope, and where suddenly the past is dealt with. Not the past is forgotten, not that the past is suddenly erased, but guilt is removed. Freedom is restored. There is a sense that the past no longer defines us. I know what it is. I know what it is to be burdened myself by past failures. I know what it is to walk around and thinking, God, is it finished? Because is this how my life is going to be defined? I know what it is to walk through a shopping centre and see another Christian person walk towards me and then go the other side of the shopping centre because they didn't want to have the tough conversation. I know what it is to let the past define me. But I also know the beauty and the freedom that this table, that Jesus brings into my world, that the past does not define me. And my present reality is, because of what this table represents, I'm a child of God. I'm still scarred. I'm still ordinary. My wife could tell you that every day. I'm still a work in progress. There's still stuff in my life that needs to change. What does Stacey just sing? God, you're my sanctuary, but God, you love me as a scarred person. I'm a work in progress. I'm released from the past defining me. I'm released from my brokenness. And God starts to put me back together, just like some of you are doing 10,000-piece jigsaws in isolation. God starts to put me back together piece by piece, day by day. But he dares open the door to a future where I can dream. A future where I can say that even for someone like Scott Pilgrim, with all my strengths and my hopes and my aspirations, but also with my frailty and my insecurities, my sin, my selfishness, God, even for me, I can dream. I can dream about a future of significance and purpose in investing my life in that that matters most, the kingdom of God, and seeing how you can use even me. Today, we come around this table and I want to invite you to consider your past. I want to invite you to consider your present. I want you to consider your future. Today, what are you holding on to from the past that holds you down, that weighs you down, that pulls you back? When Jesus goes to the cross and dies for us, he lays down his life. And this weekend, I sense the Spirit saying, what is it that we need to lay down? Sin that you've held on to for so many years. Guilt that just robs you, that saps the very life out of you. Bitterness, resentment. Walking around still defined by how your dad described you 30 or 40 years ago, as painful as that is. Still defined by something that should never have happened to you, horrible as it was, but still defining who you are. Holding on to stuff that you can't change. Holding on to broken dreams. Holding on to what others have said about you. I don't know. It could be a myriad of things. But we come to the table and we lay down our past. And Jesus, just like he did to a Samaritan woman, or to a tax collector calling him down from a tree, or to a broken man or to a broken woman, Jesus says, I've dealt with your past. It's finished. It's time for a fresh start. It's time for a new beginning. And Jesus said to us 2,000 years ago that we ought to continue to break bread. And whenever we break that bread, we look back and celebrate the past. Not our past, we celebrate his past. We celebrate him laying his life down for us. And so wherever you are in lounge rooms, wherever you are around dining tables, you might have a feast like I've got here today. I'd be sitting with a Jazz cracker and a cup of coffee. Whatever you've got in front of you, can I invite you to break bread and eat together today? And as you eat, celebrate a God who deals with the past. He meets the past with absolute love. Let's eat together. Yes, we thank you, Jesus, as we break bread. We recognize our past can be broken, and the things, the chains that hold us down can be broken. Everything that gets in the way can be broken, because you come to bring redemption and freedom and love and grace into our lives. And so we say thank you afresh today. Amen. But there's more to the story, isn't there? I pray today that you might experience freedom. And for some of you, I pray you might experience freedom like you've never experienced freedom before. Free of the past that defines you. But there's our present reality as well. I don't know about you, but I've found myself so much in the recent weeks walking around, and life's a bit like an emotional roller coaster. And I've just been reminded of my frailty, my fragility. And in some ways, that's been a really good thing. Hard as it is for many of us who like to be in control, it's been good to be reminded, Scott, you're not really in control. Been good to be reminded of my own frailty, been good to be reminded of my humanness and my absolute need for God to be at work in my life. Some of you heard me quoting Psalm 46 many times, those verses that my grandmother taught me when I was a kid. God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. It's been great to be reminded time and time again in this season, this stretching and challenging season, that God is not distant, that God is here with us today, that we have the privilege of coming around this table of worshipping a God who is absolutely committed to us, proven here at this table, proven 2,000 years ago. Reminded afresh today that each and every one of us matter to God. A present reality that God is with us, that we are not bereft, that we are not alone, but more. And perhaps we capture this more today than even if we're celebrating communion normally in church. As we look around the room today, have a look around the room today. Have a look around the room and see the good-looking people you're sitting with in your lounge room. Have a look around the kitchen table. Look across the table to the person sitting next to you. And grab this, even if you're on your own today. Remind yourself that you are part of a community of people. Because this is a community table. This is a table that unifies us. This is a table that reminds us that we're never called to live in isolation, but we're called to live in community together. And that God is not distant. And whilst for this time we practice social distancing, we're in this together, because this is a together table. The present reality for the Samaritan woman, God was with her, and suddenly the doors are open to new experiences and new community in her life, just as it is for us. It's been so good to see how Crossway has been loving each other, loving the neighbourhood, taking the values of this table and bring it to life day by day. Crossway, God is here, Easter 2020. Hope is here, love is here, grace is here. an ever-present help in times of trouble. But what does the psalmist finish with? Catch your breath, he says. Be still and know that I am God. God hasn't left the neighborhood. Jesus moved into the neighborhood 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is still with us today. A God who releases us, who redeems our past, a God who gives us a present reality, a God who is with us, and a God who says, look, look to the future, lift your eyes, even in the midst of COVID-19, even in the midst of the circumstances you find yourself in, lift your eyes and dream. See what is beyond. Remind yourself that God esteems you that much, that not only does he save you and bring love and purpose and freedom, he gives you a future. I heard this wonderful story just a few months ago. I had the privilege of meeting with Dr. Elijah Brown, who is the General Secretary of the Baptist World Alliance, the movement that brings the global Baptist movement together. He told the story of a young couple pastoring a church in the Middle East. I won't say where. We're live around the world today. But here's this young couple, and they're in one of the worst places in the world to live today. They're in one of the most dangerous places in the world to live today. They're in one of the most poorest places in the world to live today. They're in a place where life has become all too cheap. They're in a place where there are way too many refugees and asylum seekers. They're in a place that is hard. They know death. They know loss in their own family. They know the past with shattered dreams. And yet here they find themselves with a call of God upon their life to pastor a small Baptist church in the middle of this war-torn city. And they arrived, the present reality, they arrived and there were only 10 people left in that congregation in a small little building. But they threw themselves in to their calling, into that ministry, to bring the hope and the light of Jesus in the midst of brokenness and darkness. And you know what? That little church of 10 has grown to a church of 1,000. And in the least likely place, the hope and the love of Jesus is being practically seen in a very divided city, a divided neighborhood. They wanted to extend their building. The local authorities weren't keen that they knocked down a wall, but God works in mysterious ways. A stray bomb went off in the middle of the night. Thankfully, no one hurt, no one injured, no one killed. You know where the stray bomb landed? It landed on the church building, on the wall that they wanted to knock down, but the government said they couldn't knock down. The pastor gets a call, 2 o'clock in the morning, a stray bomb's landed on the wall that we want to knock down. You know what the pastor and the leaders did? They got down there with some hammers and axes, and they made sure that wall was down so they can grow that building and share more of the hope and the love of Jesus. Why do I tell that story as we come to the cup this morning? I tell that story because here is a couple who could so easily be focused on the circumstances and the brokenness and the chaos and the turmoil and be overwhelmed. But here is a couple who've said, God has redeemed the past. Here is our present reality in which we are privileged to serve. How can we make the most of the future, a kingdom future where we are today? We take the cup. We take the cup today and we recognize that Jesus has laid down his life for us. But we take the cup and we hear the words that Pastor Heather spoke to us so powerfully in that video. Thanks, Heather and Lucas, for that powerful video. We hear the word resolve. The word resolve. Jesus demonstrated absolute resolve in that he would go all the way to the cross for us. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Death could not hold him down. Risen from the grave, he comes back to the disciples. And what are his words? Words of resolve. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you. Your past has been dealt with. I'm here with you in the present reality. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Step out in faith, Jesus says. Take up your cross. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you. In your lounge rooms, around your dining tables, sitting at the back under an umbrella, we take the cup together today. And let's drink with thankful hearts, but let's drink with resolve. I haven't been able to get the words of the Isaac Watts hymn out of my mind over recent days. Love so amazing, so divine. That's what the Samaritan woman experienced. That's what the leper experienced. That's what the tax collector experienced. That's what the woman who'd lost her husband and son experienced. That's what the man paralyzed for almost 40 years experienced when Jesus sees him and his gut is moved and he says, get up and walk. I'm changing your past. I'm here in the present and you have a future. Every time our lives collide with the redemptive story of Jesus, we experience love. So amazing. So divine. That's what this table is. It's a love feast. Love so amazing. So divine. That Jesus would be even willing to die for someone like me. To release me from that which would hold me back. To stand with me every day in my present reality and to open the door to a future beyond my imagination. You know why that young pastoral couple in that city in the Middle East do what they do? They do it because they've invested their life in the kingdom of God. They've invested their life in that matters most, the noble, life-giving, purposeful, joyful, yet hard, challenging adventure of serving Jesus the King. The COVID-19 pandemic, I think, has given us a reality check. We want to pray for all those who've lost loved ones. We want to pray for the impact of that pandemic around the world. We pray that it will soon cease. In Jesus' name, we pray for all those who've been impacted by it. And yet it's brought every one of us back to reality that we're not in control. It's caused us to examine our lives afresh. It's caused us to ask ourselves what matters most. And so it's my privilege to share with you around this table today, because this table for me declares what matters most. That I want to invest my life. I want to invest my life in the cause of Jesus. I want to invest my life in the cause of Christ. Love so amazing, so divine. But what's the challenging finish? It demands my soul, my life, my all. When Jesus stands before Pilate, he says, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this kingdom. If I was of this world, people would come in now to battle for my release. But I'm of a different world. He says, I'm of a different kingdom. Today, as we celebrate love, we're invited afresh with resolve to invest ourselves in the cause of Jesus. And what are the values of the kingdom? What is the example of Jesus? It's servanthood, serving others. It's sacrifice, being willing to lay down like Jesus laid down. It's suffering. It's humility. It's putting others before ourselves. It's loving our neighbors. It's being a voice for the voiceless. It's bringing the love and the hope of Jesus into a broken but beautiful world. It's standing for the cause of Christ, a past that Jesus can deal with, a present reality that God is here with us, and a future that God leads us into with the potential of making a difference in our worlds as followers of the servant King. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the servant King. We thank you for the servant King who would come into our worlds to show us the way of life, to show us love, to model sacrifice and commitment and resolve, to invite us into the exciting, adventurous, challenging journey of discipleship. To esteem us with the privilege of stepping out and being His hands and feet in a broken, beautiful world. Bringing good news. Bringing love. Bringing hope. Seeing disciples multiply. Seeing communities be changed. Being a voice to those on the margins. Reminding ourselves that God isn't finished with us yet. Reminding ourselves that as broken people, God is at work in our own lives. And so right now, as we pray and conclude our service, I'd invite you that if today there is a past that needs to be redeemed, if there is a past that needs to be laid down, if there are things in your life today that you know you need to let go of and put at the foot of the cross again today, will you do that right now? Even symbolically where you're sitting, you might open your hands and place it down. I let go of disappointment. I let go of broken dreams. I let go of shame. I let go of guilt. I let go of resentment. I let go of hatred. I let go of how others have defined me. I let it go, Jesus. I let it go. I let go of bitterness. I let it go. I let it go because you are here with me today. I no longer will be defined by how others have defined me, but I'll be defined in my present reality as a child of God, loved by you, never bereft of hope or purpose. Maybe for others today, it's, Father God, I lay down worldly priorities. I lay down things that get in the way. I lay down my aspirations for more money or more power or prestige or my career or the bigger house or the worldly dreams. I lay those down that I might invest in a future focused on the cause of Jesus. For some of you, it may be today, right now, for the very first time, that Easter 2020, Good Friday 2020, will be that pivot point in your life, that tipping point, where for the very first time you accept Jesus. You might want to pray with me right now. These words, you can pray it right where you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for laying down your life. Thank you for your grace. For forgiveness. Thank you that you redeem my past, that you're with me right here, right now in the presence. And thank you that you invite me into an eternal future, a life with purpose and hope and meaning. Thank you, Jesus. If you've prayed that prayer, why don't you tell us that? Why don't you tell us that on our social media channels right now? One of our pastors is there. Why don't you share that news and we want to celebrate with you. Father God, may we be people of resolve, people of the King. Thank you, Jesus. Send us out this Easter. Send us out with a fresh and a new resolve to be your people.